Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Getting you set for tomorrow's Game 3 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Got some odds here. Got the Broncos odds to win the division. I got the Broncos odds to win the AFC. And I got the Broncos odds to win the whole dang thing.
I love it. I love it. See, I think you're off on the Judy. Just to, like, kind of, I think you're off. I think you should take it because, you know, you say, well, if he stays healthy, he should. But staying healthy is a big part of it. So if he gets over 900 yards, 5 touchdowns, 60-something catches, that means he was healthy.
I think you're off. Because when you take 967 yards and you divide it by 17 games, you're talking about 56 yards a game with Russell Wilson as your quarterback in an offense that's going to be skewed towards him. 56 yards a game for Jerry Jeudy. I mean, come on, Jerry Jeudy should be having games, but we see a 120-yard game, 144 yes. yards, like... We should be seeing that for even games that he has to miss.
But we haven't.
He should make.
But we haven't.
He should hit
we
that
should,
number.
But we haven't.
He should be able to hit 967 yards and miss 3 weeks of the season and
yes.
still hit it.
Yes, and that's what it could look like. But we don't even know how much he's going to play. That's the other kicker here.
This is so crazy.
That's why you should take it. Okay, give me the Broncos stats. That's what I'm here for.
Okay. Odds to let's have you guess. Let's okay. have you guess. Okay. All right. Odds to win the division.
Whoa, odds to win the division. I mean, everyone, this thing is a tight division. I would say Broncos, well, I know the Broncos are third on this list, right?
Correct.
I think it's still the Chiefs, right? Chargers, Broncos, and then we all know who the last place team is and who is the least likely to win this division. Say it with me one time. Zach, one, two, three.
The Raiders. Raiders.
Vegas Raiders. We know it, right? It's not just me making this up, Zach. It's Vegas telling us that they're the worst team in the division, which makes my day. So I'll say the Broncos are, they're going to be plus money to oh, yeah. win the division. Yep. So how about plus 350?
Plus 250.
Okay.
So you bet $100 if they were to go on and win the division, you get that 100 back plus 250 bucks. Odds to win the AFC. Is that fair, by the way, plus 250?
I think it should be a little bit more, a little bit higher. I think Broncos, I think it should be around 350, 400. I just think that the Chargers and the Chiefs, you know, going into this year right now are better teams than the Denver Broncos.
Thanks to our listeners in Louisville for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Odds to win the AFC.
The whole AFC.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about.
Like you're appearing in the Super Bowl.
So it's not just to be the best team and the number one seed in the AFC. This is to win the AFC championship?
Odds to win the AFC championship.
Wow. Well, plus 250 to win the division. I mean, that's got to be plus. They probably have it like at plus 7. I was going to say 800, but I'm going to go 750.
Plus 850.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Odds to win the Super Bowl.
Plus 1,700.
Darn close. Dude, literally on all three guesses, you were off by 100 exactly on all three. Literally, you had odds to win the division plus 350, it's plus 250. You had odds to win the AFC plus 750, it was plus 850. You had odds to win the Super Bowl plus, you said 1,700?
I forgot, yes.
It's plus 1,600. Plus 1,600. What's the odds to make the playoffs? You got them there in front of you, Dante?
Yeah, odds I'm seeing, yes, is minus 136. No,
dang.
Plus 112.
Okay.
So they're saying the Broncos.
They're saying it's more likely right. that the Broncos make the playoffs than miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Almost 2-1.
I'll take that.
Almost two, by minus 167?
136.
136. Okay. All right.
Okay. Hey. Given where we've been. You're telling me, forget the exact numbers, you're telling me it's more likely that the Broncos are in the playoffs and not sitting at home than the opposite.
That's what Vegas is telling us.
I'll take it. I'll take it. In this division, with this division, I'll take those odds right now here
absolutely,
on May 20th.
Absolutely. where we've been, what's happened. I mean, we got a new quarterback. Yeah, it's Russell Wilson, but and we got a new offensive system. We're trying to figure all this stuff out. I mean, it's and we're playing in the toughest division in all of the NFL.
Right.
So
bar none. It's not even really right. Like it's not. We're not debating. It's the AFC West and someone else. It's the AFC West.
Yes.
So it's going to be a battle royal all season long. Speaking of articles, or speaking of articles, speaking of odds, I came to you on a commercial break about 2 months ago.
Oh, stop it.
And I said, hey, just a heads up, because I'm like sharing is caring. I just want you in on this. Like, I just watched the Boston Celtics play. That team has all the components to win a title.
How did this come into this segment? Like, where did this come into this segment? Like, we're talking about Broncos. I want to continue to talk about.
And you laughed in my face. And your quote was,
now you remember my quote. You know,
I do. He said,
this is not going to be an accurate quote.
I swear to God, it is.
Go, okay.
You go, Celtics ain't winning no title, bro. I'm like, I'm not saying they're going to win, but they have the components. I think it's worth a $50 flyer at 10-1.
You might be spot on.
Celtics ain't winning no title, bro.
I don't know if I exactly said that, but that sounds like something I would tell you.
And did you see the beatdown they put on Miami yesterday?
Yeah, I saw it. I will tell you this, though. So I did listen to you a little bit, though.
You did?
So I
after you're done laughing directly in my face.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It cost me last round. I'm not going to lie. Cost me, right? With the Bucks losing to them. But if the Bucks beat them if Chris Middleton is healthy.
I agree with you.
I mean, they almost beat them without him. And that's their second-best player, bar none.
That was a display of one of the 20 greatest players of all time elevating a group that had no business. Like, the collective group. And Drew Holiday's fine.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He shot 35% for the series. He wasn't even great. But, like, that the fact that Giannis had that group where he did.
But I listen to you. But I have, and I tell you this, I got the Avs twisted three different ways here with parlays. Talking about with Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
One, talking about with Boston. I did that when I listened to you with Boston. And I have the Avs with both of them. Three. So I did one. I did a two-teamer, and I did the whole thing. Let's just do the three-teamer.
That's the holy trinity of parlays right there.
There's one constant. There's one consistency there. Did you figure it out? Let's see if you...
The Colorado Avalanche.
And if they screw me...
Oh, my gosh.
I will never forgive them. I will never... There's a few people in that box of you will never be forgiven from Stokely. Never, ever. Never. And they'll be in that. They'll be in that box. They better not screw me.
That box has a podcast written all over it.
Oh, there's a few of them.
One of them lately?
No, I wish I would have.
Okay.
I wish I would have.
Okay.
I wish I would have saw one of them yesterday.
Okay. All right, we'll leave that one right there. Speaking of beef, we got big name beef. Big name beef.
Uh-oh.
A war of words between two of its sports' biggest stars. Oh. This one is hysterical, and we got updates on it. It's coming up next.
Getting you set for tomorrow's Game 3 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Feel like it. Does it? I mean, we're May. It's Friday.
I know.
We're getting dumped with snow. Does not feel like it.
I'll say this. I know it's kind of a bummer, especially with a lot of the stuff going on, high school graduations and stuff.
I mean, if you had people coming in from Louisiana and California, you had like, 75 to 100 people coming, for Saturday for like this big great party that you've been looking forward to for months. And then, you get hit with a big, snowstorm out of the blue where we haven't gotten like over an inch of moisture in 2 months. Yeah, it sucks.
It's not like you had a DJ booked or something.
Right.
So just
no, just didn't rent chairs and table. Had a taco truck coming and bartender and Right.
Didn't you had the bartender
that.
Too.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? Got delivered
party for kids.
You know what? adults too. Adults. Well, you know, right. Got to start them. Got to get them ready. Got to get them ready for college, Zach. You don't get them ready for college without a bartender. They got to know what to order. Yeah,
put a base coat down.
Right. Exactly.
A little primer.
Yeah. But before I was leaving the house, you know what happened? Somebody delivered these two huge boxes of cookies. Like graduation cookies.
Mm.
Like the party's canceled now. Like, what are we going to do with these two boxes? And then, oh, by the way,
party's canceled now.
Right. What are we going to do with all these cookies? Right. Oh, got all God. These decorated cookies. That's just the start of it. Got more desserts coming later. Like, what are we going to do with all this stuff? It's but we got moisture. We don't have to worry about our state just what's just catching on fire, which has been a big concern here over the last month. So.
In the last couple
we're just,
years.
We're just having fun, and we're having fun with it.
Of course. And that's the only thing you can do, I guess. But there is a small part of me, obviously, in addition to being bummed, that I like hunker down season.
Yeah.
Like, let's get some food. Let's get all our drinks. You don't feel guilty about not doing anything.
Right.
Because you just watch the snowfall, and you take care of it, and you watch movies, and...
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of watching movies, I just want to get this one thing off my chest, and then we'll get to this war of words. It is incredible how well the movie Toy Story has held up. The movie Toy Story 1, was released during the Clinton administration. It was 1996 when that thing came out. It's on my TV all the time. If an alien came down and I said, yeah, that movie was made in 2017, the alien would be like, yeah, it's about right. Incredible. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
We got big name beef. A war of words between... two of its sports' biggest stars. This was coming out yesterday while we were on the air. We knew that Nick Saban, see, that was the original story. The original story was Nick Saban at a fundraising event says that Texas A&M, the number one recruiting class, paid for every single player. And he said it very emphatically. All right? They paid for every single player. And we got to get this under control. Well, Jimbo Fisher comes out and says, we never bought anyone. Oh, by the way, this press conference was like, he had like an hour notice. Jimbo was going to talk. He was just furious. He was fuming. And they said, hey, we're meeting in 1 hour. Okay. Jimbo goes up there. We never bought anyone. No rules are broken. Nothing was done wrong. It's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. We're always going to be here. And we do a heck of a job. It's disrespectful that a reputable head coach can come out and say this when he doesn't get his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. It's ridiculous when he's not on top. He went on to say, quote, some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out a lot of things you don't want to know. We build him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past. Or anyone that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out. And what he does and how he does it is despicable.
Wow.
What's funny is, in that talk, right before he said that about us, wasn't he soliciting funds from the crowd? It's amazing, isn't it? When you walk on water, I guess it doesn't matter. End quote.
Wow. Jimbo coming with some bam, bam, bam.
That's a combo.
I see you, Jimbo.
I see you over there. My goodness.
Holy cow. Look, the NIL thing is out of control. I think we all can agree on that. Or if you know anything about it, you know it's out of control. Okay? That's the rules. Now, I think it is illegal to pay someone to go. I don't know. In Texas, it is illegal to do that. Illegal. I don't know how you get them. Once you get them there, maybe you can start paying them. I don't know.
Right.
Right.
No, so that's basically fundamentally what it is. Once the kids get there, they can do deals. But when they're in high school, you can't say, we got a six-figure deal from, you know, John Elway Chevrolet when you commit to CU or whatever the case.
But to be that naive, to think there ain't no wink, wink, like, we'll take care of you. We got this amount of money in our NIL fund or et cetera, this booster will take care of you. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. But Jimbo, you know, like, you're not breaking the rules if once they get on campus, you start paying players and you start getting these NIL deals. It's all part of it, and it is out of control. And you hear from all these coaches, and that's kind of what Nick Saban was going at, and he went down the wrong path, obviously, because, you know, they have NIL deals there.
They do.
At Alabama.
He was just talking about his quarterback's going to make $1 million last
right.
year.
Right. So it's where we're at. They have to get it under control. They have to have more rules and regulations. It can't just be the wild, wild west kind of what it is right now. And it's ridiculous. It's out of control. But, you know, to call out Jimbo like that, I think he stepped in it. And he stepped in it in a big way.
He
and
did.
Jimbo came back firing. Because if you got, you know, history, like if you have stuff in your past, in your closet, you better be careful. Because you know what? Jimbo knows. Jimbo coached with him. Jimbo coached under him. So it's like you better be careful. What is a throwing, you know, at a glass house if mm-hmm. you live in, or stones or whatever. What's the saying?
You don't you're throwing stones when you live in a glass house.
Yes. That's what's happening here. And so you just better be careful.
He was asked. And by the way, so the update is Nick Saban has apologized. Okay. He said, quote, look, I should have never singled anybody out. And I wasn't saying that. Only one of these schools did anything wrong. I didn't intend to mean they were buying players, even though that's exactly what he said, but more that you're able to buy players now and it's totally legal. You're just using name, image, likeness to do it. What I'm saying is that it's not good for the game and is only going to get worse unless there's federal legislation. Saban calling for federal legislation.
Well, this thing is out of control, man. That's what's happening. And it's who's going to be able to pay the most money for kids. And then it's like once you get them, you still don't have them. And they can transfer. They can go into the portal and open up recruitment again and hold you against, you know, I mean, the kid from Pittsburgh did it. Pittsburgh's leading wide receiver.
Yeah.
Went in the portal, boom, I'm going to be transferring. Well, you know, what are you going to play me, Pittsburgh? What are you going to pay me, USC? Well, USC won, just like they won with Caleb Williams, a quarterback from Oklahoma.
Correct.
He did the same thing.
Yep.
And so now it just comes down to who's going to be paying the most money. It's really out of control. But see, Nick made the big mistake. You don't start highlighting and pointing out teams and pointing out coaches and pointing out other schools.
You point out the system.
You point out the system. And once you step in,
but he's a little butthurt because they got right. their number one recruiting class. So you're using them as the vessel yes. to criticize the system.
Right, right.
So Jimbo Fisher said Saban had called him, but he didn't pick up. Okay, he said, I'm not going to. We're done.
Oh,
he said, he's the greatest ever, huh? When you've got all the advantages, it's easy. You coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people, learn how not to do things. There's a reason, people. I ain't back. I ain't back and worked for Saban. Don't want to be associated with him. You can call me anything you want. You can call me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, your old man slapped you upside your head. Maybe someone should have slapped him.
And wow. He is hot. Well, look, I don't blame the guy. Honestly, you know, I don't, Jimbo, whatever, Nick, it is what it is. But, you know, I don't blame him. Like, if you, that's your core values and someone's calling you out for cheating and you're not cheating and you're looking at him like you're a cheater, buddy. Right? I mean, like, I know you are. I know what goes on in your programs behind closed doors. And, you know, look. That's very disrespectful, and you're going to come out firing just like Jimbo did, but isn't it great, though? Isn't it great
that
you got two heavyweights in college football in the same conference starting this war like this? I mean, oh, unbelievable.
It's great for college football.
Yeah.
These two teams in the same conference, the conference has come out and reprimanded, and Jimbo Fisher was asked, is it going to be awkward between you two? He said, awkward about what? I don't mind confrontation. Lived with it my whole life. Kind of like it myself. Backing away from it wasn't the way I was raised.
Love it.
Oh.
It makes you like Jimbo Fisher even more.
It does. I don't know much about Jimbo,
right.
But I like what I know now.
You love it.
Like, don't tread on me, dude. Right. Are you serious?
I don't care if you're Nick Saban. I don't care
right.
what you got.
Right.
Like, you better
oh my
slow
goodness.
Your roll.
I love it. Hey, what's going on with the tight end room? And what was the thought from the current tight end on the roster when they drafted the new tight end? Take a dive into that coming up next.
Getting you set for tomorrow's Game 3 in St. Louis. Powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Stokely and Zach.
discussing a little bit earlier about the tight end room. And the, well, it's not complicated. They're just unproven guys in there. Albert Okwuegbunam has played in 18 career games. Eric Tomlinson, not really a factor in the pass game. I think he had one catch for 7 yards last year. Eric Saubert, I want to say, what did we say? He had eight catches or something last year.
Yeah.
For like 84 total yards. Like just, you know, so the Broncos go in the draft and grab Greg Dulcich out of UCLA. And Albert Okwuegbunam was speaking to the media yesterday and was asked about the selection, 80th overall, of his new teammate.
Honestly, I didn't really think too much of it. You know, I just still focused and approached it as, you know, just ready to you know, step into that number one spot and just do the best of my ability and approach every day the same.
Wasn't really thinking about it, but he's got to do what he's got to do to step into that number one spot.
Yeah, look, it doesn't matter who they draft. As long as they don't draft someone in the first round, like really high, where you know that guy's going to eventually take over. I mean, Dulcich is a third round pick. It doesn't mean that he's got to play. That's not what it means. So ultimately, whether they drafted someone or not, Albert O's got to go out there and perform. Because if he doesn't perform, you know what? It doesn't matter if they didn't draft one. You're going to be replaced next year anyway. You're going to be the on button once again. Like you've had like four or five where you just got to push that on button to talk. Try to get talk. Now it's on. Say something real quick. Let's hear your voice.
I thought I wanted you back in studio.
But how many times have you done that today?
Three.
At least, which is, that's embarrassing, you know? it's really embarrassing. But look, I just think that, so Albert O's just got to be concerned with himself. He's going to have an opportunity. They're not just going to give this thing to Dulcich. If he goes out there and plays well, he'll be the starter. And performs well, he'll be the starter. So that's all he's got to do is really concern himself with himself. Going out there, playing good football, and doing the right things in the running game and the passing game, and then everything will take care of itself.
We'll revisit this conversation when it's even more relevant, because this is a camp battle. Like, this is an open competition at the tight end position. It's a very important camp battle that we'll be tracking closely.
And they might not say it. You know, they might not
care less.
Right. Like, you know, well, it's a quarterback competition, so they might not say it, but it definitely is. Definitely is a competition, and it won't look like, you know, probably won't look 50-50 reps, but that's it's going to be a big-time competition that, you know, Albert O's got to play well to keep that spot, at least early on.
On Monday, I'd like to maybe have a conversation where the competitions are going to be. Monday's the start of OTAs, like the official start of off-season training activity. Phase one. We'll maybe we'll have some representatives out there, like Andrew Mason, maybe DMAC. The media is invited to one practice per phase, so we'll probably hear some Broncos talking next week. But
isn't DMAC in St. Louis?
Oh, that's right. DMAC's going to be
there?
No.
When are the games? Saturday, Monday.
Saturday and Monday. So yeah. We're actually going to have DMAC on the show. It's already ordained. At 12:15 on Monday and Tuesday, previewing the game and then reacting to game three.
It's ordained.
That's right. It's been preordained.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's like some kind of, like you say ordained, that's like a church. Like you're a priest, you got ordained. Is that
correct? I used the Trinity of Parlays earlier in the show, and I'm tying it together.
Do you want to use a different word here? I'll give you that opportunity. Are you going to stick with ordained?
I'll stick with ordained.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, sounds good to me. You're just throwing out these big words to throw out.
I'm prophesying that on Monday we're going to have DMAC.
Perfect. All right. There
live
you go.
From St. Louis.
Love it. I love it.
What we won't have tonight, which I was actually really looking forward to, cozying up late night. Put the family to bed, put the kids to bed, have a little cocktail, watch some Rockies, Mets.
Yeah.
Postponed.
Yeah.
And just to guess, I don't think they're going to play tomorrow either.
Right. So probably a doubleheader on Sunday at the best.
At best.
And, but hey, they got a chance to get over 500 in one day.
Ooh.
They could get to 500.
Oh, you're right.
They're one game below 500 still, right? I mean, that's where they were, I believe, after the last series.
They are 18 and 19.
How about have one good day, all of a sudden you could go back to over 500, which we didn't think we would see them get to 500, but they got a great opportunity.
I love that. I love that. Then they'll become the relevant rocks again. They'll get their own segment on Monday.
Yes.
All right. They could actually not play any of these games this weekend.
Yeah. It could be a clean...
Just like a full three-game postponement. What do you do with that?
Yeah. That's why I think they'll play on Sunday. Like, I don't know. You got it tarped up. You get the tractor out there. I mean, Sunday's supposed to be halfway decent weather, I think. Just get the snow off the field and play. I mean, I think that's what you have to do. You got to get a doubleheader in.
All right. Yeah, because it's not like regionally. You're not going to have like the Mets come back for three.
But, I mean, look, sometimes this stuff happens.
Sunday, right now, according to the good old iPhone, Sunday 53, partly sunny.
Yeah.
So perfect. They'll probably do everything they can to almost play. Like opening day 3 years ago.
Yes.
Where they were like, we are playing this game. But it's 19 degrees. We are playing this game.
That's what they'll do. They'll play Sunday.
Okay.
They'll play Sunday for sure.
Okay. All right, the Avalanche second-round woes reared its ugly head again last night. I was in the building. What was most concerning? What was the most concerning component of the upset loss? We'll boil it down next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
The Avalanche second round woes reared its ugly head last night. What was the most concerning component of the upset loss?
I got something for you.
Okay.
You just got your butt whipped for three periods. You got dominated for three periods, pretty much. That to me kind of sums it all up. I mean, that's, you look at everything, it's just like you got dominated. I mean,
wasn't like a back and forth. Like,
oh, you lost a close one.
You got edged out.
And you had it 2-1 early in the third, and I was like, wow, I mean, you might be able to all of a sudden steal one here where you just got really outplayed for the whole game. And, you know, we see that stuff happen all the time. But all of a sudden you make a few plays, you get hot, you get another cheap goal, it goes to overtime or something, you get one and you win in overtime. That's kind of how I thought it was going to go and what we were going to talk about today. I really thought it was going to happen that way. But ultimately, even when they got within a goal, they just couldn't even sustain any kind of momentum at all. And next thing you know, Avs, 8-9 minutes later, I mean, Blues answered with another goal.
Yep.
And then the late one, and it's 4-1. But to me, when you take a step back, it's like you just got your butt whipped the whole game. Like, they were crisper. They were they just played better hockey. The whole stinking game. And so that was what was really disappointing.
You know, something that sticks out to me that I didn't mention earlier is losing at the faceoff circle. You know, getting possession at the outset of said possession is just so important. And in game one, the Avs dominated in that category. I want to say it was 39-24, something like that. And for that thing to flip last night, the Blues won 37 faceoffs. The Avs just 24. So you're minus 13 in that category, where 13 different times at the faceoff circle, the possession is starting with St. Louis. So, gosh, you could just add that to the list.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you, if you watched it, you noticed it. Like every time there was a faceoff, it seemed like they won it, or a critical one, they won it. And, you know, that's a big part of it. You got to win those faceoffs. You got to control the puck. I mean, that's what Coach Bednar was talking about.
Yep.
Little things like that. They got to be a lot better. And, you know, we'll see. See what this team is made of.
You know.
we'll really see what this team is made of, how they bounce back. Is it going to be a tailspin?
Yeah.
That we've seen.
Yep.
We saw it last year.
Yep.
Up 2-0, second round. Oh, lose four in a row. I mean, just got out of control. Couldn't stop the bleeding. Is that what we're going to see here? Or is this team a little bit different? A little bit different than years past and going to bow up and start and get things corrected and fixed now? I mean, it's on the leaders. We talked about it. The five guys, Rantanen, McCarr, McKinnon, Kadri, and Landeskog, the five guys. I mean, it's on those guys, the leaders, and then the coach, Coach Bednar. It's to make sure this thing isn't a complete slide and get it fixed and get it headed back in the right direction. Look, ultimately, you got to win one of the next two. Do I want to see them lose tomorrow? No. My panic concern level will go up a lot if they do, but then you just got to win on Monday. You got to win one of the next two, and then I'm A-okay with how things have gone, especially sitting here now and thinking about what it looked like last night and what it could look like going to St. Louis. What, do you agree, disagree with
agree.
Anything there?
Agree. Although I'm hyper sensitive to tomorrow's game because that's the next game, the reality is that one of these next two games, and you can pick one, one of them's a must win. You can't come back here down 3-1. You just can't do it. You got to win three straight. And
I don't want to say it's not well, necessarily
yes,
a must
yes, it,
win.
Yes, it is. One of the next two is a must win. You cannot go down 3-1.
Wait. A must win means if you don't win it.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Was last year's week one game for the Denver Broncos a must win?
I don't remember. I'm talking about this year's Avalanche hockey team.
If we said if you want to go to the playoffs,
yeah,
you got to beat the Giants at home week one.
Okay.
That's something that had to happen, considering what was ahead, considering the last six games of the Broncos season.
But here's what's different. This team is better than the stinking Broncos have been.
Here's the thing. Yes, have they been better than the Broncos have been? Yeah, well, you could fall on your face and still win a race against the Broncos the last 5 years. No, I'm not. I'm just, this is the way it is what it is, and hopefully the dog days are over. But in terms of, we don't know. Let me say it to you like this. There's a phrase right now, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, that like in basketball circles, it's like a question. They say, is he an 82-game guy or is he a 16-game guy? Who actually are you? Are you a regular season guy? Or are you a guy that can win 16 games over the course of a playoffs and be a champion? That the jury's still out on these Avs. And we were just so bullish in that the callus had been built up and the past failures lead you to this point. And, oh, it's the Broncos losing against Jacksonville and using that as motivation the next year to come back and win a Super Bowl. Like, but here we are in the middle of the second round, and we still just don't know who the Avs are in this moment. Nathan MacKinnon, where are you? Mikko, where are you? Kadri, where are you? Like, And you brought up Jared Bednar. Dude, the pressure's on here. The pressure is on for Jared Bednar. If you don't get out of the second round, I don't know if he's getting coaching the second game of next season.
That's fair. All that's fair. Here's what I'd say. I mean, do I feel like, I mean, it's at the utmost highest of everything to win one of these next two. But at the same time, if they're down 3-1 coming back home, could I see the Avs winning three in a row? Yeah, because this team is that talented.
But what could you point to that would lead you
nothing
to believe something of substance that you could point to?
Well, not history, not the last 3 years, of course, in the playoffs, nothing. Nothing, because they have failed ultimately in a second round for 3 years in a row in as a disappointing fashion as you could. But saying that, this team is so talented. We know that.
I don't care about talent. It's the playoffs.
I got it, but I'm just saying they could roll off three in a row with two of those three being at home against the Blues. I would feel like a lot better about that than, say, look at the Broncos last year when we say, oh, this is a must-win game if they want to get to their goals and get to the playoffs. I could see the Avs being able to do that. Now, the likelihood of that happening is slim, obviously. So, yes, I do feel like they need one of these next two in a big, big way. Because all of
need,
a sudden, how,
like shelter,
how can
like
we
food,
feel about this team
like water,
winning three in a row?
I would feel terrible. The series is over if they lose the next two. That's what I'm telling you here today. If they
I
don't
say
win,
you are correct, but I'm not
even thinking about the odds. If you get down 3-1 to this Stanley Cup champion, they can all look in the mirror and look at each other with conviction in one another's eyes, saying we've been here before. This was a team in St. Louis that was down 2-1 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And came back and beat the Boston Bruins. They have real historical wars that they've been through and say, we came out the other side. We got this. And I am just, I look, I'm, I don't like the way I feel.
I'll tell you this. I'm going to make another analogy just so real quick. Back to my Colts team.
Okay.
You're right. Right? But when you went in the locker room there, and I was hurt, when you were in that locker room, and there we were in 2006, the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, a team that we couldn't get over the hump. We've, you know, hurt it for 4 years straight. You've underachieved in the biggest moments in the playoffs, just like the Avs have. Yep. And it's the on button once again, bro. It's, say yep now.
Yep.
See how it works better when you push the on button? This is the worst day you've had in radio history, in your life, in our partnership. The worst day. And you've had some bad ones, ladies and gentlemen. He's had some bad ones. And ultimately, this takes the cake. May 20th, on a snowy, snowy day here in Denver, Colorado, the worst day in the history of our partnership in radio has happened today. This guy has talked into a dead microphone 4 or 5 times today. Anyway.
I really can't say anything. In that department, it's probably literally the worst day I've ever had.
A classic day. You got to love it. So we were down, and this is a Colts team that was so good in the regular season. Like the Avs, we were down 21-6.
Wow.
To Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots, who have owned, well, us as Indy, but also the whole NFL. I mean, at that point, I think they had three Super Bowls at that point, something like that, okay? And they are whipping us at home 21-6. So if there's ever a time to say, huh, here we go again, can't do it. But somehow, some way, I'd say everything said, man, if you don't start fast against the Patriots at home, if you're down by double digits at halftime, there's no chance you're going to win that game and go on to the Super Bowl. But look, greatness reared its head, and it was Tony Dungy, and it was thinking Peyton Manning and Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, and the rest of the crew that just showed up in a big way, and they were special because they were a special group of guys, and I could see the Avs doing that. Now, is it ideal? No, certainly not. But they have that talent. They have the pedigree. They're a talented team that could roll off 3 against the stinking St. Louis Blues. Now, let's not put ourselves in the hole, but I wouldn't feel the same way I felt as like the Broncos. Hey, you got to win 2 out of the first 3 at least. You need to beat the Giants to start the season if you want to make it to the playoffs. Ideally, obviously, you need 1 of the next 2.
You need 1 of the next 2.
Right.
And here's the thing.
But I'm not going to throw in the towel and say this thing is over if they don't do it.
If they get down 3-1, the series is over.
Did you not just hear my analogy?
I heard your little pregame speech, and it was great. You did a great job. I'm not worried about the odds. I'm saying for me, in my opinion, if the Avs drop the next 2, I have nothing to draw from that would lead me to believe that this group would win 3 in a row. I'm sorry. Now, first of all, we're going to doomsday. We're going to doomsday. We're drawing a scenario that what would it look like if you drop the next 2. Do you think they're going to drop the next 2?
Well, KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver, you just dropped that 2. Those 2. You just dropped. Scooped in on Friday, made his day a little bit worse. A little bit worse. Hey, when you got them, when they're on the kick them when they're down. Right? Hey, just dominate the whole day. What were you saying? Because I was focused on getting a W today.
The old Roddy Piper
your day
quote.
Miserable.
I don't hit anyone when they're down. I kick them. It's easier.
I love it. Roddy.
Do you believe that the Avalanche will drop the next 2 games?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I don't either.
I don't see that happening, but at the same time, I'm concerned that it could happen.
Let's give a prediction for Game 3.
Game 3 is a W. That's my prediction. The Avs are going to come out with their stinking pants on fire like they did in Game 1 against Nashville. They got embarrassed at home. Their back's against the wall. And, I mean, they're coming out ready to fight. They're going to be flying around. They're going to play more like we saw in Period 2 and 3 in Game 1. And they're going to come out and they're going to play really good puck. And they're going to get a W. They're going to get the stinking W, and it's going to be 4-2.
I like it. I am with you. I think the Avs win tomorrow. It's at 6 o'clock. I think they bounce back. I'll go 4-1
I think you see the best version of the Avs.
So you just took my score and you minus one. Can you do something?
So is it your score minus what's not your score?
Pretty close. I mean, can you do something a little bit more creative?
There aren't that many options,
though.
It's hockey.
Oh, yeah. Who's that over there?
I mean, come on now.
Have you guys ever heard of the butterfly effect? They say the flap of a butterfly's wings here can create a tsunami somewhere overseas.
Where are you going with this?
That's what you did yesterday, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
By your lack of presence in the game screwed the ass.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Your lack of commitment. Yeah, I heard you talking about you're going to the game, this and that.
I had a legit
deal. Sometimes life happens, right?
Sometimes stuff happens.
It happens.
Yeah. And I do think you're way off base on Dolchus just like walking in here being the starting. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Good.
It sounds awful in here.
It sounds awful. We got to get that fixed.
You don't think Dolchus is going to be the starter?
Not game one.
No, I don't either. Melvin Gordon.
I thought we were about to have a bet.
Well, no. Look, see, again, I asked you a question.
Right.
I mean,
He's a pro.
You've created a monster here, Zach. That's all I do is ask questions. I'm just going to grill Tyler for 4 hours today. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Hey, it's fun talking, but I got to get home before,
We got to hit you with the BA.
You're done. Get the F out of here.
Thank you, BA. Appreciate it.
Have fun. Congrats to your son graduating high school yesterday. Shout out Dante behind the glass. This week, we got James Merrillat and Tyler Palumbus. What's up, James?
What's happening? So Stokes got more graduation things to go to, right? It's a week-long event.
So he blew off Tyler in an event that didn't even happen for golf.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They can't make it up, right?
Yeah, he had 2 months' worth of graduation activities going on, and then he's taking a vacation in 6 months after that.
Now, at least this is legit. At least this is a legit graduation. And
y'all stop lying. Y'all make your stuff up.
And
I'm lying to you.
Raj just reminded me of some of the things I've had to sit through. I have a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old.
Right.
And so, Tyler, you've probably done this, too. Zach, you're probably getting to some of these preschool graduations. They actually do.
Oh, done 3 of those. Yep.
Elementary school graduation.
Mm. Yep.
Middle school graduation.
Wow, you know what? That's funny. So my son is done with elementary school on Wednesday. I might just be a terrible dad and I have no clue what's going on. But I haven't heard anything about a graduation.
No graduation?
My wife's incoming text in about three seconds that I don't listen. I told you about that 10 times.
So is elementary school 5th or 6th grade?
5th.
Okay.
5th, yeah.
So then my two sons, and I doubt they had it, but they were going to have field day today. So 7th grade and 4th grade. And I wonder which of these two extremes you guys think is worse. One of them, they do events, but everybody gets a ribbon. I mean, it's like made up, right? Like, everybody gets a ribbon. The other one, they do events, and nobody gets a ribbon.
Mm.
Is either of those good, bad?
What does not get the ribbon? What are you talking about?
Like, there's nothing given out. If you're first, if you're last, nobody gets anything.
Oh, that's my high school is now doing that. There's no more valedictorians.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, had to get rid of valedictorians. Now, that's a very controversial one.
It is.
That people will get fired up on.
It is.
I know exactly where I stand on it. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and people are about to get ticked off me for saying it. But are you kidding me? Are we that afraid of competition that we can't have a valedictorian?
Dude, you know how important those, and I am being dead serious, how important those field day ribbons were for me.
Right.
Dude, I would be working up to field day, like especially when I became like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Like they were so important. We used to have sticky tack. I don't even know if that's still a thing, but I would pin them right on my wall. And I'd had them for 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, like so proud of my field day ribbons.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, it's been years and years and years ago for me, and I can still remember it. And, you know, kind of thinking back and like, all right, the nerves here on the 50-yard dash and some of those kind of things. Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And now, like, either everybody gets one, nobody gets one. I shouldn't have been surprised, but on the drive to school today, having the conversation with them, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't decide which was worse. I think everybody getting one is worse.
I don't know. I mean, they're both kind of the same thing.
They're both saying the same thing.
The results don't matter.
You know, but
right? Right.
Either way, it's the exact same thing.
when my oldest got rolled in the spelling bee, they made him go sit down.
Same. I never got out of the first round of spelling bee.
Right.
Yeah, and
it is what it is.
And then, you know, they have the science fair. They still give first, second, and third for that. I'm like, what's the difference?
I don't get it. I don't get it. I sort of... I try to understand the opposing viewpoint I do.
You know who totally understands that? The city of Philadelphia.
Yes, they do. Gave a participation trophy yesterday.
The most valuable Philadelphian.
Yes. The city council? Is that who it was that awarded?
It was ratified and everything.
Henceforth, all these big words.
Joel Embiid, the MVP, the most valuable Philadelphian.
Unbelievable.
According to the city council. If you were Joel Embiid, wouldn't you be kind of embarrassed by that?
Oh, heck yeah, totally. I would. 100%.
Like, I don't want this award. I don't want any more attention brought to it. I just want to go away and, you know, be mad all offseason and work my butt off and come out and try and win it next year. Like, that would be the last thing I would want to get.
Now, there's nothing you can do but accept the award. What are you going to do? Say to the city of Philadelphia, I don't want your award?
Yeah.
But of course, you would.
That's exactly what I would do. Yeah. Thank you, but no thank you.
Okay, I mean, I would respect that. I would, for sure.
Feels like a natural time to thank someone right now.
Yeah.
It's time to thank our listeners in Arvada for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day.
It's like you're doing three jobs at once. Yeah. Your show, you're doing the producer's show, job, and now you're on
this show.
Right.
Keeping me, teaching me, right, you know, 101 here with asking questions.
I'm trying. All right, I did have to bail last night. Stuff happened, but...
We all got to go back, though. We have to go.
Yes. How was the energy? What was the building like, even? Let's say two different times. Going through the second, what was the energy like? And then after that last goal was scored in the third, what happened in that building?
The building largely was flat throughout. There just was not enough to cheer about. Now, I'm not trying to misrepresent. It wasn't like Phoenix Game 7, you know, last week. It wasn't like that. But there just was not. There was real angst. You could feel the tension. There was a lot of moments of, oh, geez, like, oh, my God. Like, what is happening? And it wasn't even like, oh, you missed a scoring opportunity. Yeah. It was, oh, my gosh, you just passed it to a place that was just vacated. Oh, my gosh, why can't we handle the puck tonight?
It looked like everything was just flip-flopped. Like, they were in possession all night. They were holding onto the puck. The first game, they were just slinging it across the ice, just trying to get just flip the ice. Felt like everything that they were doing, it all just got flipped. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, and that's what it felt like. I mean, the second period, despite, like, the results that you wanted, that you did have in, like, say, game one of the last series, they weren't there, but watching the second period in game one, you felt really good about what you're watching.
Right.
You're like, we are banging against a wall, and ultimately this thing's going to fall over. Last night was just like, first of all, the energy from game one to game two, it just naturally goes down because of natural factors. It's all the people who are sitting there from game one, their season day, it's the same pregame. So it's just naturally going to be down. But then there was nothing to cheer about. You had to wait so long into the game to get out of your seat and cheer. And that only lasted 8 or 9 minutes as well. So it was weird. It was tension. You could feel actually it wasn't just about the game. It feels like there's something larger looming over the game. And I felt that.
Well, the only question, I mean, there's no question for the fans, for everybody who's in the building, it's something larger. The only question is there something larger looming over the team and the guys that are out there, right? Because let's hope that that's not weighing on them, that they're sitting there thinking about the sins of the past 21 years. Now, the past 3 years, I guess those are relevant, but the past 21 years.
I think it'd be impossible for them not to think about it, right? Yeah. It's no different than guys who played for the Red Sox before they finally, you know, broke the curse, the Cubs. I mean, those players, some of them had, you know, were 1 year out of 80-something a part of that, but they still all kind of felt it. And I think when you hear about it a lot and, you know, everybody in the building and everybody watching on TV is thinking about it, I think it's impossible not to get caught up in it and be worried about it and have the here we go again type of thing. I certainly am feeling that today. I mean, the weather outside is fitting for my mood. It's pretty gloomy because what I saw last night.
Yeah, we call that a Monday, but okay.
Yeah, I saw last night felt an awful lot like games 4, 5, and 6 last year against Vegas.
I just hope, and I know you're going to touch on this, that Bednar has a tactic up his sleeve because you see the adjustments from St. Louis. What is it for the Avs? I know you guys will talk about it, but there's real pressure on Jared Bednar.
Oh, yeah.
And what we're talking about right now is literally the theme of this entire season. Like, we are at the moment. We are at the theme. Like, we're at the theme is, can you overcome second-round adversity? And though those guys from St. Louis, man, those guys can all look at each other and say, hey, remember we were down to the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup Finals
right.
when the chips were down?
Right.
And then we had a parade. We hoisted the trophy. They have real history like that that the Avalanche simply don't have. Now, everyone has to get over the hump for the first time. And Stokely's analogy about the Colts is actually really appropriate. Like this high-flying team that's great in the regular season and got beat 3 years in a row in the playoffs before they eventually beat the Broncos and got over the hump and won a playoff game. But until that happens, man, I'm going to be skeptical, and I'm nervous. I'll admit it. I am nervous.
I think we're all nervous. I know we're going to recap all this. I'm just going to wrap up my final thought here real quick. Of course, we're all nervous, and of course, we all feel it. But this isn't adversity. We haven't had adversity yet. This is not like we're talking about this. Like we're talking about you got to get 16 of them, right? Did we really think they were going to win 16 straight?
No.
Did we really think there wasn't going to be a series where they weren't down by a couple games?
They lost
some
one
point
playoff
time.
Game.
They've lost a game. It's not time to lose our minds.
I see that spin on social media today. I'm not buying it. It's not as though they were up 3-0 and lost one game and we're all freaking out. They lost game two on their home ice, got dominated, blew home ice advantage.
They dominated game one. They absolutely dominated game one. Dominated in game two.
I'm not buying it.
But I'm not pressing the panic button. They were winning 16 straight.
No, you're right. It was always going to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. But I will say this, and I know we got to go, but this will be my last thought. What happened last night has me looking at game one even more skeptically.
Agreed.
You dominated shots. You dominated the faceoffs. Yeah. You out-hit them significantly. You controlled time of possession, and you barely
pulled it off.
I was looking at it the other way.
Yeah.
They're like, that should have been 7-1. That should have been 7-1. And now I'm like, ooh. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. I can't wait.
What went wrong last night, and what can the Avs do to fix it tomorrow night? We'll answer those questions coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.